later. But we want to grow in our walk to please God. That should be our main motivation, our main goal in life. And that's what we're here for tonight. So hopefully I can urge you on and encourage you to do that. Our motivation is 1 John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. It was Jesus Christ that initiated the relationship with us. He's the one that went to the cross for us 2,000 years ago. It was planned before the foundation of the world. And he initiated the relationship. And, you know, our motivation is just to love him back for what he's already done and what he's planned for us in the future. And, you know, he demonstrated that love, as we said, toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's Romans 5:8. Now, the main point, again, that I want to talk to you about is walking by faith and not by sight. And you can find that in 2 Corinthians 5:7. You don't need to turn there. By the way, go ahead and turn to, I think it's Hebrews chapter 11, and then put a marker in Matthew 14. So we're going to first go to Hebrews chapter 11, and then Matthew 14, and then we need to pray. Hebrews 11, Matthew 14. Let's pray. Father God, we just come before you tonight, and I ask, Father, that you would just speak to each one of us, that you would encourage us and exhort us to step out in faith, Lord God, and to live this life to please you. We ask by the power of the Holy Spirit that you would accomplish that in us, that you would finish the faith that you began in us, Lord. And we just give you praise and glory. Speak to us now as we look at your word in Jesus' name. So, I already talked to you about the motivation, that we want to love him first. We want to talk about faith. That's the main thing that's on my heart tonight. And the thing with faith, you know, I'm not talking about the salvation part of faith when you first get saved. I'm talking about that lifelong, day by day, moment by moment, walk with the Lord. And for a lot of people in this day and age, all they really want is fire insurance. They just want one side of the coin. I think it was Tony that was teaching that when you think about Paul and how he taught about faith and James, how he taught about faith, it's two sides of one coin. And I kind of look at it like, you know, maybe a noun and a verb, you know, one's a descriptor and the other's an action word. And really our faith, you know, once we accept Christ and once we accept the Lord into our hearts, that's just the beginning of walking in faith. And so many people today think that all it is you pray a prayer and, you know, you're saved and you got your fire insurance. And it's much more than that. It's much more awesome than that. So anyway, and the bold statement I want to say to you tonight is that real faith is often associated with being uncomfortable and even painful at times. And, you know, even right now for me being up here, it's a little bit uncomfortable. I'm getting stretched and I have to, by faith, believe that God's called me to do this. And so that's a step that I've had to take. And, you know, walking this walk, you know, this walk of faith, we can't be trusting so much in the things of the world, in the physical realm. The main point, again, is to walk by faith, not by sight. The third thing I want to do is examine and ask ourselves, is my faith in God growing? Am I truly living a life of faith? And then fourthly, I want to briefly review, and we'll do that here in a second, what faith is. And then we're going to look at some signs and opportunities in a situation that the disciples experienced where the Lord exercised their faith. So let's go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll look at the definition. And this is the fame of faith chapter, however you want to describe it. But the definition of faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. In other words, it's the realization that the spiritual realm is the more real realm. It's the everlasting realm, and it's really there. And then we drop down to verse 6, and it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." So we see that faith is the realization of that spiritual realm, the evidence of things not seen, and that we got to believe basically in God before we can even start to please him. So the moment you accept Jesus Christ, you now have that opportunity to begin pleasing the Lord. And it's just, I was just telling, I think, Michaelin, we had a chance to go to see our daughter in California on this rampage trip that we just went on. We drove after first service Sunday, saw my kids, we spent the night in Victorville on Sunday night, and then drove down and saw my daughter the next night. And she's 22 now, I think, right? And it's amazing because I was telling Michaelin, she's at a phase in her life now where, you know, she's through those teenager years, you know, those years where you love them but you don't necessarily like them. Well, now we're starting to like our daughter. She's fun to be around. She was a joy to be around. It was a gas. And that's what it's like before we come to Christ. He loves us, but until we receive him as Lord and Savior, now we can really start pleasing him and enjoying that. He can start enjoying that relationship with us. And so it's just like that. And so I was blessed to be with my daughter this week. And I know the Lord is blessed, you know, when we want to be with him in that moment-by-moment walk. So we have the definition. It's something that you have. It's not just you do it one time and it's done. And a lot of you know that. I see a lot of folks that have been walking with the Lord in here for a long time. And you know that it's the peaceful moments that you need to worry, at least for me. I worry when nothing's going on in my life, you know, when everything is good, because I tend to drift. And I know that it's probably the same way for you. So we reviewed what faith is. Now, I want to go over to a story in the Matthew chapter, if you want to turn over there now, and Matthew chapter 14, and we're going to look at that good old story of the walking on the water situation there in Matthew 14. And we'll just go ahead and read, and I'll just start from verse 22. And it said, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him, verse 22, the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening had come, he was alone there. Now notice right here in this verse, before we even get to the storm, Jesus is interceding, I believe, for these disciples. And when we look at Hebrews 7:25, it says he lives to make intercession for us. You know, I think about what, you know, before Christ, what I used to live for, you know, a good time or, you know, go skiing or whatever. But you know what? The Lord lives to make intercession for each one of us. He loves, it's his pleasure to go before him, to go before the Father, and to speak to God on our behalf and to prepare us for anything that we might go through. And that's awesome, and that gives me comfort. And I need to remember that when I start to go through a trial or tribulation, that he's already interceding for me. You remember Peter, you know, the night of before the crucifixion, that, you know, Jesus told him, hey, Satan wanted to sift you. I mean, that would shake me out of my boots to know that. And yet he said, you know, have peace, I've prayed for you. And so, you know, that's where you got to get to, is to have that peace, to understand that Jesus lives to intercede for you. And he's doing that right now for each one of you. And so we read verse, we'll pick it back up in 24. But the boat was now in the middle. I'm going to start in 23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. And when evening had come, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, there's no indication that when they got in the boat to go that there was any winds. You know, if you look at the other stories, there's no indication. I believe that when they started out, it was nice and calm and peaceful, and they're just going to go to the other side. In fact, they were commanded by the Lord to go to the other side, and he was going to meet them there. And a lot of times when we're walking along and things are peaceful, you know, that's the time when we probably should be praying the most, because the storm's coming. And, you know, we may not know what that storm is, but if we're praying, just like what Troy talked to us about on Sunday, is that if we're constantly praying, you know, being, you know, praying in the Spirit and stuff, you know, we're going to be prepared to be able to face that storm. So now the boat, now they're in the middle of the sea and they're being tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary to them. Now in the fourth watch, which means at the latest possible time, the darkest moment, you know, it's always darkest before dawn. And this is, you know, it seems like, you know, when these storms come and the waves are tossing us around, you know, when a trial comes and we're being buffeted, it seems like, you know, we're in total darkness as to what the Lord's doing. And it's like we can't see any good that's coming out from this. And we can't understand. We have no understanding. It's totally dark as to why we're going through this situation. But then the next thing you know, and not only that, but I guess for the cycle of the human body, I think it's between 3 and 6 is when we get our best sleep. That's when we get our best rest, is in those hours. And so here these guys are at the darkest hour, at the weakest moment physically, and they are struggling against the winds and the waves. And that's the way a lot of our trials are. We're in darkness sometimes, and we're tired. I know when I get tired, then I get grouchy, and that's when I get attacked, and that's when I trip and fall and stumble and say things that I don't want to say. And so, you know, that's why it's important to get prayed up and to stay and understand that Jesus has interceded for me and is interceding for me. Now, in verse 25, it says, "Now in the fourth watch in the night, Jesus went up to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a ghost,' and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid.' And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.'" Now, a lot of people, you know, we've all probably badmouthed Peter, but, you know, there's been two people that has walked on the water. One was Jesus, obviously, and the other's Peter. He walked on the water. And, you know, just the idea of taking that step of faith, of getting out of the boat, can you imagine what the disciples were experiencing? They're like, they're probably telling Peter, "What are you thinking? You know, that doesn't make sense. It's stupid." And a lot of times when we think about the signs and the opportunities, when God wants to stretch us and to do something in our lives and work in us, and sometimes it doesn't make sense to worldly wisdom. You know, and I'll relate to a story that I've gone through. Some of you have heard it before, but it goes against the grain of what people believe is the right thing to do. And, you know, stepping out of the boat, having that step of faith, you know, the Lord may be asking you to get into the ministry somehow, or to, you know, just go witness to somebody. And you know, he might, you know, be asking you to do something for him. And your response should be, "Lord, if it's you, beg me to come, you know, step out." So here Peter is, he stepped, in verse 28 he says, "And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' So he said, 'Come.' And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus." You know, are you willing right now to step out in faith? If God was asking you to do something, first of all, are you in that place where he can speak into your life? Is there a, you know, are you having that relationship where he is leading you? Or are you just taking things for granted? You know, I think back to when I was working in the fire department. The first 19 years of my career was in one agency. And at 15 years, you had lifetime rehire rights. And I had just passed that, essentially, you know, I had passed that mark to where it would take a major reduction in force to be able to reach me to lay me off. And so there was this relaxation in my heart to think, I finally made it. Now I've got rest and peace. And about that time, some things started to happen in the agency, and there was a little bit of, you know, and I loved that agency. I was, you know, it was the Forest Service. We wore green uniforms. I worked 19 years there. And if you were to cut me, I would bleed green. I loved that agency. I loved working for that agency. I grew up. I became a man in that agency. I started when I was like 19 years old. And it was all I knew. And it was all I trusted, you know, essentially before Christ. My job was my God before Jesus Christ. And I told you this before, that Karen actually had to compete with my job. She didn't have to compete with another woman. She had to compete with my job. And I loved my job more than I loved her. And of course, God was probably in the top 20 until he got a hold of my heart and I got my priorities straight. But I had gone 19 years in this agency, and I was happy and content and relaxed. Now, that was 1995, there was some major budget cuts. And you really find out quickly in an agency what's important to them when the budgets get tight. And they were doing a lot of cuts. It was breaking my heart what they were doing. Where they were cutting in the agency was just breaking my heart. And for the first time in my career, I began to ask the question. Now, I've been a Christian now for about 7-8 years up to this point. And, you know, for the first time, I started to question, you know, am I still supposed to be here? Because they had broken my heart. Because some of the things that was going on in the upper echelon, the things that they were doing, I was betrayed at one point. I was promised some things. It's real detailed. I don't want to get into that. But for the first time in my career, I started to doubt whether or not I was still supposed to be here. Now, I told people routinely, you know, I'm going to die in this agency, or I'm going to do it till I drop, you know, go to 57 years old and retire, because there's a mandatory retirement there. And so I thought that, you know, I was going to spend the rest of my life there. But what happened was, is God created a little bit of storm within the agency. And then I started to wonder, you know, am I still supposed to be here? And I started praying, Lord, is it your will to move me? Do you want to change? Well, about that same time, in the county that we lived in, the state agency who ran the state municipal side of the fire department, they lost the contract with San Bernardino County. And San Bernardino County decided that they were going to start their own fire department. Now, they had a quasi-agency, but what was going to happen was is all the state engines were going to leave the fire stations, and the county was going to take over in those stations. But the problem was none of the state guys were going to leave the state to come to the county. And so that opened up an opportunity for me to cross over. Now, a buddy of mine came to me and said, hey, Buzz, you ought to consider... About the same time that this little storm's going on in my life, a buddy in the county fire department said, hey, Buzz, you ought to think about testing and coming over to the county. And, you know, all this other stuff is going on in the background. And I thought, oh, man, Lord, what are you doing? You know, I had peace knowing that I was going to, for the rest of my life, be in this one agency. And now all of a sudden it looks like you're asking me to leave. And then finally one morning, we were in church, and before church started, I leaned over to Karen and I said, I think God's asking me to leave the Forest Service. And I hadn't told her anything that was going on at work. You know, I hadn't told her nothing. And out of the blue, I just dropped this bomb on her, and she about fell out of the chair. You what? You going to leave the job that you have job security in? You got to be kidding. And I said, I think the Lord's asking me to leave. And there may be an opportunity for me to leave and go into the county fire department. Well, now the stress started for me. You know, am I hearing you right, Lord? You know, and the prayers started coming. You know, I was on my knees. I was being tormented. It was like battling these winds that the disciples were battling against in my life. But I had opened the door in my heart to say, Lord, if you want to move me, then let your will be done. And so I ask you tonight that if you're in a storm, have you opened your heart up? Have you given the Lord the opportunity to work in your life? If you're not even in that position yet, start praying about it. Because you can only be blessed. God loves to reward, and I'll get to that. He loves to reward when we actually step out in faith. And just like when Peter steps out, and in the moment he, you know, can you imagine that moment from when he left solid, you know, the wood and stepped out onto that water at that moment? the anxiety that he might, you know, this is a storm of storms. He was an experienced fisherman. You know, he knew that this was a bad situation, and he was leaving the security of the boat to trust in Jesus. Is there some area in your life tonight where you need to leave the security that you've been resting in and start trusting Jesus? Now, you might have already trusted Jesus for your salvation, but it's more than that. Like we said before, that it's just the beginning when you accept Christ. This is a life and a walk of faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. We trust that Jesus is there. Or is the door closed? Have you not given him an opportunity to speak to you, to be able to do something in your life? I suggest you start praying about it. And the rewards are not only in this life, but they're in the one to come. So, you know, again, that's where that faith comes in, to believe in that spiritual realm more than the physical realm. And I ask you tonight that you would really reflect, there might be a small storm in your life right now, and the Lord is saying, hey, you know, why don't you open the door to your heart and then step out and watch me work? God wants to bless you. So, getting back to this story, I had started suffering anxiety attacks way before this. Chemical imbalance, whatever you want to call it. I had been suffering anxiety probably for about 3 years prior to this. I knew what it was. In fact, there was one day a tree had fallen at the station in a storm, a big, massive tree. And I thought, anybody have an anxiety attack in here? You know what that's like? Yeah. You think you're having a heart attack. So what I decided to do was to work as hard as possible to see if I could cause the heart attack, my heart to just burst. And when I was working as hard as I possibly could, I realized my heart stopped, the anxiety stopped. And I was like, well, I know now that it's not a heart attack, it's just anxiety. Well, now, fast forward this again to this situation, this little storm in my life. This anxiety began to get worse and worse. And just like it says in Proverbs that, you know, anxiety will lead to depression, and that eventually happened. And I suffered through depression for several years after I made my decision to leave that security that I had before. Now, what's amazing is that during that time, when I finally made the transition, when I left the one fire department and went into the other fire department, I was suffering. I had began to suffer depression, but I was still. What was amazing to me is that when I ministered to people, I was always amazed at how the Holy Spirit just used me in every situation, in the situations that He put me in. I was able to, even though I was just terribly depressed. Every time somebody came to me in need, the Holy Spirit welled up into me, and I reached out to everybody and walked in the Spirit during that time, You know, we can debate on as to why, if it was sin or not, but that's not for tonight. But the reality is that after I made my decision to leave, I cut all the strings attached to the other agency. There was really no way that I could go back. And I knew that when I made that decision to step out in faith, I had to cut the cords, that I couldn't just run back. And what was happening at the time, there was so much politics going on at that time, and everybody was saying that the county fire department's going to fail, and you're going to go over there, and it's going to fail, and you're not going to have a job, and all this other stuff. And everyone's saying, Buzz, don't do it, don't do it, don't go. Other guys are saying, yeah, you need to come. You know, and I'm just literally being stretched apart, torn apart. And, you know, I'm like, Lord, what are you doing? And I was in the worst. I felt like I was being crucified. It was just... I really felt that way. And just like Job, though, like he said in Job 13:15, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And I was willing to make that step of faith and realize, you know, and that this was killing me. I was breaking my own heart to be obedient to the Lord. But what's really cool, and as the year, about 3 years into it, I started to get treatment for depression, and I no longer need it. I quit about 2 years after it. But once that first year after I got into the fire department, into the county system, it was real rough. I mean, I had a heck of a time staying. I would go to work. I would go into my bedroom. I would turn off the light, and I would cry and weep. And then the bell would go off. I'd go to the call, and I would, you know, I remember one call. We had a young lady, mother, who had lost, it was New Year's Day, and her daughter and son were killed by a drunk driver New Year's at night. And during this time of depression, we went to this call, and this gal had not cried from the moment she found out about her two children. She wasn't able to express any emotion. And I got there as the ambulance arrived, or my engine got there as the ambulance arrived, and I went into the lady, and she was laying on the couch. She had passed out is what it was from the stress. She had a syncopal episode. And so I'm on this call, and I walk in, and I happen to notice a lot of religious stuff on the shelves and stuff. And so I just stepped out, and I said, you know, can I pray for you? And she nodded. And as I began to pray for her, and the second I mentioned Jesus Christ's name, she began to weep and to cry for the first time. And it was awesome. And yet here I had just come from my bedroom, weeping and crying myself. And I was just, you know, ministering by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the paramedic came to me. She never did transport. We didn't transport her to the hospital. But he came to me, and he said, man, that was awesome. And I was like, what? He goes, what you did in there? I said, I didn't do anything in there. He goes, no, that was the most incredible thing I've ever seen, you know. And I to this day, can't explain what he saw, but I know that the Holy Spirit was able to use me even in my lowest moment. And then, you know, I began to get treatment, and I got out of that depression. But right at the end of that, my wife developed meningitis, and she ended up with hypoencephalopathy, which, big fancy word, it just means she had oxygen cut off to the back of her brain, and she had a traumatic brain injury, a level 4 brain injury, and she was in a hospital for 30 straight days during this time of my lowest lows. And, you know, again, another storm. And, you know, it was just like I was just being pulled apart, you know, the whole time as this is going on. And then, you know, miracles happened, and Karen was miraculously healed. It was amazing. You can tell that story some other time. She was literally an invalid. I was told the day we checked out of the hospital to put her in a convalescent hospital because of her level 4 brain injury. And I was dealing with this new job, the depression, you know, my wife's situation. And people at the church were blown away at what was going on. And they were saying, how are you doing this? You know, and it was the Holy Spirit the whole time. Now, let's fast forward even further. After I started to get better from the depression, things started to get really good. And then I eventually promoted to a battalion chief. And I retired about a little over a year ago. And when Karen and I look back at that time, and, you know, here I am, I'm supposed to be encouraging you about this whole thing. And that's my goal tonight, is to encourage you. But during that whole, you know, we had that all that traumatic stuff, that stretching, that being pulled apart, where I thought I was being crucified by the Lord for my decision. And you remember I started, I said, real faith is often associated with being uncomfortable and even painful. You know, we look back now and we go, man, our life is so awesome right now because of that decision that we had made to step out in faith, allowed us to be here right now, and I'm able to work with Tony. This is awesome. And we look back and you know, we look back at that storm in our life, and now that we're on this side of that storm, it doesn't look like anything. We look back and we go, wow, I wouldn't have wrote that story any different, you know. And that's, you know, whatever storm you may be in tonight, if you're struggling, if you're fighting, if you're, you know, wondering, you know, what the Lord's doing in your life, just keep clinging on. Just keep praying. Stay in the Word. And you'll get through this trial and this tribulation. And when you get done with it, you'll look back and you'll go, man, I couldn't have wrote this story. It's the most awesome thing God does. We cannot believe to this day what God has done. And I look back and it was easy. But when I was in the midst of the storm, I thought I was being crucified. So that's the encouragement. That's all I really got for you as far as the encouragement goes. But I just want to make sure, and it's going to be an early night, that you're willing to step out of the boat, that you're willing to have the door of your heart opened up in your life and the things that are going on in your life. Are you willing to allow the Lord room to work and to step out in faith and to trust Him with your whole life, even if it looks like you're being crucified? I mean, think about Jesus Christ, you know, the night before His crucifixion in the garden, you know, those moments in prayer when He was bleeding great, you know, drops of bloody sweat, you know, the stress. And I don't believe for a second that He was worried about the physical pain and the crucifixion. I believe He knew about the separation He was going to experience with the Father. And that was the hardest moment. But as it says in the Word, that He endured the cross, that He looked past it, what it would accomplish for the joy and the glory beyond it. That's what you got to do when you're in the midst of the storm, is to have your focus on Jesus. Just like Peter in this story, the second that he took his eyes off the Lord, he began to sink. And when you start to get worried about your surroundings and you start to take your eyes off of Jesus, you're going to start to sink. So get your eyes back on Jesus. That's essential for you to stay afloat in this storm. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So it's a real short night. We went long.